So good afternoon, shalom, and welcome. And I'm honored that you give me the opportunity to share a little bit of Torah with you. And I'm hoping, in honor of Tu Bishvat, that is just behind us, that we will speak about Eretz Yisrael in a bit of a different way. And I'm hoping that much of that which we will do together will have practical implications in terms of our actions. I'm calling today's class, Shir, Eating Fruits from Eretz Yisrael All Year Long. So, does that mean literally buying Yaffa oranges? Okay, I'm all for that. You just have to make sure that the appropriate trumos, masros, the tithes, have been removed. In fact, I have to tell you that my first trip to Eretz Yisrael many years ago, so I was literally like a young child in a toy store, and so I took pictures of Rehov Rashi, Rehov Rambam, just the street signs, you know, that they speak to me. But then, to be in a fruit store and see the Teudat Hechsher, the Teudat Kashrut on a fruit store. So you and I know, when we go into a butcher store, we go into a restaurant, and we want to know, can I eat here or not? So I can say, can I please see the Teudah? Can I please see the certificate of Kashrut? And based upon that, I know the organization, I know the rabbi, I'll be able to make a determination. Yes, I can. No, I cannot eat here. To have a certificate of kashrus in a fruit store, something you don't have in New Jersey or any place else. Why? Because as long as you're not going to steal the fruit, there's nothing that has to be done to the apple that grows, you know, outside of Israel, other than maybe wash off the pesticides that they've sprayed on it for your health. But that's it. You pay for it, it's yours, quote, it's kosher. In Israel, there are laws that govern the produce of the land, and much of the first section of the Talmud, Zra'im, deals with these laws, and the Torah mandates that you have to give to the Kohen. The rabbi said 2%. The Torah says you have to give 10% to Mr. Levi. Now, we're not going to go into this. I'll be very happy to come back if you want to bring me back some other time to talk all about tithing. That's not our... But basically, before the Jewish farmer in Israel is able to enjoy any of his produce, it's called Tevel, Tet Vez Lamid, and he's not allowed to eat from his produce, okay, his farm, until the produce has been tithed. So now, when I go into the store and I'm going to buy my fruit, I need to know, has this fruit been tithed in Israel? In which case, I can eat it right away, and I'm paying for whatever I'm buying. I'm buying a pound of grapes, okay? So, can I eat all these grapes or no? If ma'aser has not been taken from these grapes and truma has not been taken, so part of what I'm paying is going to go towards the tithing process. What we do with that is a whole different issue today. Why we don't give it to the Kohen, these are interesting points, but that's not our topic. So, again, am I in favor of having Israeli produce all year long? Sure, but that's not exactly where I'm going. Where I'm going today is, I hope to be able to show you the influence of the land of Israel on that which we eat regularly. All right, let's see how we're going to get there. So the first sheet that I want you to take a look at is on page 200. This comes from your standard art scroll sitter. And it is called what we know as Bracha Achrona. Now, what does that mean, the after blessing? So let's understand the following. From the Torah says there is Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon, we call it in English, grace after meals. And that's a biblical blessing, one of the very few biblical blessings that are found. So that, for example, the Torah says to put a mezuzah on your door, but the blessing that we recite prior to the affixing of the mezuzah to the door, that is certainly rabbinic. The mezuzah is biblical, the blessing is rabbinic. And that's true for all mitzvos. You eat matzah on the night of the Pesach Seder. The eating of the matzah is a biblical commandment. The reciting of the blessing, Allah chilas matzah, that is rabbinic. Good. So the grace after meals, Birkat HaMazon, is, we know, recited after bread. That is Jewish law, and we'll even wrestle with this a little bit in a few moments as to why that is. So that, for example, let's say tonight, my wife is going to give me a very nice supper. She'll serve, let's say, a nice piece of meat and some vegetables. And I'll say, do you have any rolls? She'll also say to me, you didn't, look, you don't need so much bread, okay? Listen carefully. And maybe it's better if you, okay? And you'll see that you'll be, quote, satiated from, and sure enough, I eat the bread, I eat the fish, I eat the meat, I eat whatever it is that she'll give me, and I did not have bread, so I will not recite the Birkat HaMazon. Now, we'll see in a few moments, like I said, as to why that is so. However, let's say, for example, right now, it's so nice that there is an array of different foods on the table, including ragolach and chocolate chip cookies made from grain. So the law says that if one eats either or ragolach or grain or any other grain product, like cookies, or if they had fruits of which the land of Israel is extolled. So, if you take this, okay, you know, it doesn't look so threatening if we only have a sheet as opposed to chamashim on the table. But take a look, you're in chapter, and it's good that the back of this is blank, so if you want to take notes throughout the class, I'd be honored, okay? So you're in the fifth book of the Torah, in Parshas Ekev, easy to remember, 8:8. So the Torah says in 8:8, it is a land of colon. You can put the colon in, right? Everybody's with me? Verse 8, wheat and barley, that's 1 and 2. And then the Torah gives us 5 different fruits, grapes, figs, and pomegranates. And in Hebrew and in the English, it repeats the word land again. Eretz, zeis shemen, olive, which is oil, which is olives. Olives is number 6. Of the 7, and dates is your 7th. So the Torah lists and itemizes and extols 7, quote, species of the land of Israel. If we were to have fruit on the table from any of these 5 fruits that the Torah is itemizing, we do have from the wheat on the table. But if we were to have, let's say, grapes or figs, dates, etc., then we would be reciting as the after bracha. The first bracha is a Borei Pri Ha'etz. That's a no-brainer. We thank God for literally giving us produce of the tree. But the after bracha is based upon this verse, chapter 8, verse 8 in Devarim. And as you can see from the top of page 200, the following, right, you know, that page I first gave you, the following blessing is recited after partaking of A, grain products, which is your ragolach, right? Other than bread, and we'll see why bread is shalom. Sorry. Shalom. Oh, it's so nice to see you.
I was absorbed
in an Arabic book. Oh, my goodness. But it's so nice to have you. Shalom. You know, we Fairlawnites have a special bond.
I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Oh, you're sweet. And it's so nice to have you. Thank you. Okay. So, and just because you're not sitting at the table, you can come in Nash. All right?
Later.
You know, you shouldn't feel... Oh, it's later?
Thank
okay.
You.
But all right. So here we are. So we're going to wrestle with Bracha Achrona, which is the after blessing for, and I showed you the verse, and he quotes at the top of the page 200, for grain products, which is what you have on the table. And then, and we're not going to go into, we're not going to do those 5 types of grains, which are fascinating in its own right. So just know what they are: wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. So let's say, for example, I have, or somebody has, a wheat allergy, and it comes the night of the Pesach Seder. and you're supposed to eat matzah. Now, matzah can only be made from these five grains. Matzah, the reason why Sfardim do eat rice, many of them, on Pesach, is because were you to make a matzah out of rice, you wouldn't get the biblical commandment of matzah. Were you to make a matzah out of corn, you wouldn't. So why don't we Ashkenazim eat rice or corn? Sfardim do, many of them. But why don't Ashkenazim? The answer is because in many locales, the rice and corn are literally used to make, here too. So there is, people will make a rice patty, and that becomes their staple, a corn bread. So we are so careful on Pesach to distance ourselves from that. But if I can't eat wheat, I can have a matzah, and they do make, you should know, my friends, matzah, just know for others, if you don't have this problem, but others do. They do make matzah from all the others, barley, rye, oats, or spelt. But let's say, for example, I'm an eccentric. I've been to a Seder last year, I've been to a Seder the year before. So I say, come to my Seder, we have something special. So you come to the my Seder, and you don't see any of the more traditional matzos, but I bring out, ta-da-ta-da, and here comes a box of spelt matzah. Now you should know, whatever matzos, especially hand matzah, will cost you, obviously because there's a much less demand for this and it's custom made, it'll cost me double. But I just won the lottery, so money's not an issue. So I say, come to my Seder and I'm going to give you a spelt matzah. So you say to yourself, now is it kosher? The answer is definitely yes. You could get the mitzvah on a spelt matzah. But if, thank God, all of you have healthy digestive systems and you can tolerate wheat, I didn't do you a favor. After you've eaten your wheat matzah, then as part of the meal, if you want to quote, go the eccentric way, that's fine. But to fulfill your mitzvah, the wheat is preferable. Why? Because that is number one in the verse. So even though, let's say, I might have a choice of a wheat or a barley matzah, the wheat comes before the barley because that's how important this verse is, 8:8 in the fifth book of the Torah. So now, if you've had either or, a grain product, or let's look at B, wine, or the rest of the list in C, all coming from that one verse, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, or dates, then after you've eaten from these species, we recite this blessing. It's called the bracha achrona, the after blessing. So again, the blessing before, if I'm having fruit, I'm having some dates, figs, etc., I'm going to make a bar prayer eights, as you would on an apple, pear, peach, plum. But if you had your apple, pear, peach, plum, or orange, or grapefruit, you would not say page 200, because it's not one of those species found in, identified in the Torah in 5:8:8. Okay, so now, what is this bracha? Take a look at the second line at the very top. It's Me'ein Shalosh. Me'ein Shalosh literally means an abridgment of three. Now, this is very interesting. If I were to ask you, tell me about the Birkat HaMazon. Tell me about the grace after meals. So I'm going to tell you, the grace after meals is, listen carefully, 3 + 1. There are four blessings in the grace after meals, but I didn't tell you that. I said there's 3 + 1. So why am I playing games? I'm not saying 2 + 2. What does 3 + 1 mean? It means as follows. Three of the blessings in the Birkat HaMazon are biblical. Listen carefully. And the fourth one is rabbinic. Okay? Where's this coming from? It's coming from the Talmud in Brachos 48b. Now, let me say the following. The Torah doesn't give us a text of Birkat HaMazon. All the Torah says is, V'yachalta, you shall eat, V'savata, be satiated, uveirachta. So you have to ask yourself in the back of your mind, and you will be able to answer before you leave today, why tonight, if I'm having my piece of meat and my vegetables, and I say thank you very much for the trouble my wife went to, and it's delicious, and I'm full, I'm not going to recite anything other than a Bari Nefashos. I'm not even going to say this page. I'm going to say that short, very small paragraph, which would be on the next page of the Art Scroll Siddur, Bari Nefashos Rabos, which is a class in its own right, if you're, I'll be honored to come back. But here we go. So we have to try to understand, like, what's going on here. So basically, what's going on is as follows. The first, now, this is fascinating. The first three blessings, which are biblical, what does it mean it's biblical? It means the rabbis understood from the verse that the verse was saying here, watch, V'yachalta v'savata uverachta, eat, be satiated, and bless. Al ha'oretz hatova. What do you mean, al ha'oretz hatova? The literal translation means, take a look, if you have the verse here, and it happens to be verse 10, when you eat and are satiated, you must therefore bless God, right, your Lord, for the good land that he has given you. Now this is, very simply, Aryeh Kaplan's translation, and kol ha'kavod to Aryeh Kaplan, but al ha'oretz literally means on the land, etc., and he's saying for the land. So the idea is, wait a second, and we know the land happens to be the land of Israel. And Tova, the Talmud tells us, refers to Jerusalem. So let's say, for example, you have your, quote, classic tuna sandwich for lunch. You've washed your hands. Now, what do I have to wash? My hands are clean. What do I have to wash? Some other class. Okay, it's very interesting. Either a gentleman or Kohen?
No.
Okay, so you'll take my word for it. It has a lot to do with keeping the Kohanim in shape for what we began. So that tomorrow when we have a Beis HaMikdash, please God, and we give the Kohen his truma, he's going to know what to do. He's going to wash his hands before he eats it. So if I'm not a Kohen, I'm not a Levi. So why do I have to wash my hands? If only the Kohanim weren't going to do this, then guess what? They would have forgotten it, because it's a very small percentage of our people that are Kohanim for a good reason. So the idea is, just like the runner, he keeps in shape, his coach is also running with him a good part of the time, keeps in shape. We are washing our hands. There's a little bonus for today's class. We are washing our hands before we eat bread as a means of keeping this law alive among the Kohanim, that they should know what to do, and it's a beautiful affirmation of our faith that there will be a Beit HaMikdash. There will be a third Beit HaMikdash, I promise you, and the Kohanim will be eating Truma, and we are going to be ready for it, and we'll know what to do. We're going to wash up. They will wash their hands before you. So now watch. So the Torah only says, you've eaten your tuna sandwich, thank God. So the first blessing of the Birkas HaMazon, Baruch Atah Hashem Azana Sa'olam, and you should know, Bechein, Bechesed of Rachamin, is a very pretty idea. And that is, we thank God. Listen carefully, what does the word Chein mean? Anybody? Chein. Favor or grace, charm. Let's say someone calls me up and says, I heard about this particular girl. Can you tell me something about her? So if you say a girl's got chen, how would you translate that into English?
Charm.
Good. She's charming. Good. So how do we use the word charming to describe the food? Let's say I just had a tuna sandwich. So the answer is beautiful. God could, whoever put out this fruit and other foods, etc., thank you so much. God could have nourished us in black and white. Think about it. Tomatoes don't have to be red, and cucumbers don't have to be green, and oranges don't have to be, that's right. And yet, think about it, the fact that the food does have this color adds charm. The table looks much more charming because, just take a look, he nourishes us in living color. So that's all included in the first blessing. The first blessing is, thank you, God, for the food. Good. So I had a tuna sandwich. I say, thank you, God, for the food. I'm ready to move on, right? No, no, you're not finished yet. What's the next blessing? No de lecho, we give thanks to you. Hashem Elokeinu. Al shen chav levaseinu eretz chemlet. Wait a second. I happen to be a Zionist. Okay, but why does my Zionism, my love of the state of Israel, the land of Israel, why does that come into the grace after meals? Okay? So you could say, well, what do you mean, why does it come in? The verse itself perhaps implies. But if I'm not living in Israel, what is it doing there? And then finally, the third blessing, which, take a look, Hatova, this is in verse 10 in the Hebrew, or the good land, and the Talmud tells us that the word Tova refers to Jerusalem. So the third paragraph and the third blessing of the Birkas HaMazon of the grace after meals is Rachem, God, please have mercy and compassion. A Yisrael Amecha, on your people Israel. A Yushalayim Irecha, on your city Jerusalem. Wait a second. Why and what does that have to do with the tuna sandwich that you just had? Which is a very interesting question. The truth of the matter is, if I was a better teacher, I wouldn't even give you an answer. I'd say, next time you see me, give me your answer. And it was asked to, of course, ask yourself, what does the B and C, 2 and 3, the second about the land and about Jerusalem, have to do, and how does that bracha end, whether you sing it or say it, Uvenei Yerushalayim, we ask God to plead, Baruch Atah Hashem Bonei, whether you say Barachem of or not, with your mercy, he builds Jerusalem. Very nice, but once again, tuna sandwich, building Jerusalem, what's it all doing? So, if you'd like, I can give you a very nice answer. And if not, you'll bring me, what, yes or no? This,
definitely.
We only have
a nice answer.
What?
We want a nice answer.
Not just an answer. Okay, so write down on the back of this page, that's why you have it, listen carefully. The name of the book this is coming from is the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma, in his commentary on this verse here, 5th book, chapter 8, verse 8, verse 10, the Meshech Chachma says that every time the Jew eats, he goes through a summary of Jewish history. Thank you, God, for, listen carefully, believe it or not, the first blessing was composed by Moshe when the manna came down in the desert. Now that's a very interesting topic in its own right. When I eat my tuna sandwich, I make a bracha, motzi lechem min ha'aretz. The food came down from heaven, a bracha you and I never made, and the likelihood is we never will make. What bracha do they make, Miriam, on the mun? Baruch ato Hashem, motzi lechem min ha'shamayim. That's pretty good. Okay, but now listen carefully. Moshe composed the first blessing, Baruch Atah Hashem Hazon Es HaKol. You, God, nourish. He nourishes us all. Joshua, when he brought us into the land of Israel, he composed the second blessing of Baruch Atah Hashem Al HaOretz V'Al HaMazon. We thank God for the land and the nourishment. So we're not just thanking God for the tuna sandwich, we're thanking God for the nourishment which comes from the land. So now, this is my key question, which we will answer by the end of the class, and that is the following. If I'm eating my tuna sandwich in Israel, good. So at least the bread came from Israel, and wherever the tuna fish came from, etc. So I can say, all right, I'm eating my food here, and thank you, God, for the land. But if I'm eating my tuna sandwich here in the United States, and my bread came from the United States, and my tuna was canned here in the United States, and the mayonnaise, everything, etc., is all from local. Why am I bringing in A or B, as is in that second paragraph? So again, the Meshech Chachma says, because I have to unite with Jewish history. I have to unite with Joshua bringing us into the land. And the third blessing is David and Solomon composed the third blessing when we were privileged to have the Beis HaMikdash. So we're basically experiencing each time we ate, not just the nourishment for our body, but some additional nourishment for our soul, connecting with our people in a rather metaphysical way, realizing that, where am I? I'm in New York City, I'm in New Jersey, etc. I'm here now, but I know where ultimately I should be. So every time I eat, I'm connected with my destiny, which is a very interesting idea in Birkas HaMazon. Because I'll give you my telephone number if you have a better answer other than this as to why we're thanking God for the land, and why I'll give you another answer later, but why we're thanking God for Jerusalem. Okay, so these are the first three blessings. Now watch. We finished the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Barachem of Yerushalayim, and what are you going to say the next word?
Amen.
Amen. You never, anybody here Sephardi? Okay, you can admit it, nothing wrong. Some of my best friends are, here we go, you ready? Sephardim say Amen after a series of brachos. So if you are a Sephardi or Sephardiya, and you just finished the Shemoneh Esrei, and you said the last bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMavarech Samo Yisrael Bashalom, the last of the 19 blessings, you say Amen after your own series of blessings. We Ashkenazic Jews never do, except for one exception, and that is Uvnei Yerushalayim, the third blessing in the Birkas HaMazon, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bnei Barachem Av Yerushalayim, Amen. Why? What's the Amen doing there? Two answers. The first answer is to demarcate, to separate. The first three blessings are capital B, biblical, coming from 5, 8, 10, 5th book, chapter 8, verse 10. And the fourth blessing is the blessing of Hatova Meitiv, that came later on in Jewish history when, you should know the following, the dead of Beitar. This is after the destruction of the Second Temple in the days of Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba fell, and between Bar Kokhba and the 20th century, that was the last time that we ever fought again for the land of Israel. Bar Kokhba was defeated, and the Romans, Yimach Shemam, not only did they massacre, now you're not going to believe these numbers, over 100,000, it's more, but I don't want to say more, of literally casualties, and the Romans did not allow the Jewish people to bury their dead. Now, I don't have to tell you, God in his infinite wisdom causes that after a very short period of time, when a person passes on, the body putrefies. Why? I don't mean to make light of this. I love my grandfather. After 120 years, Gramps dies. I don't want to bury him. I want to keep him in the attic, in the basement. And every day I come home from school, hi Gramps, how are you? How was your day? Etc. I don't want to let go of him. Huh. One of you is going to move out of the house. Because after a while, and not a very long while either, the stench is going to be so horrific. Either Gramps is out, and that's obviously God's wisdom to make sure that we will bury our dead. Here, 3 years, again, all seasons, including spring and summer, 3 years, 100,000 or more corpses did not decompose. This was a miracle. When they finally were given for burial, as found in the Talmud at the end of the Gemara Ta'anis, so the Talmud says, listen carefully, and the Gemara in Brachos 48b tells us the story, that when they finally gave them over for burial, the rabbis instituted the blessing of Hatov Shaloh Hisrichu, God is good, that the dead did not decompose, and Vameitiv Shenita Lekvura, that they were given to be buried. So now I'm going to ask you, very nice, we all agree, all those that think this was a miracle, good, but what's it doing in the Birkas HaMazon? Why in my grace after meals do I say thank you for? And again, the Meshech Chochma says to let you know that God is with us even in the exile. Very fascinating. One last reason why we say Amen after the list of brachos. What's your name?
Stephen.
I work for Stephen. Now watch. There are two possibilities. Either I am, let's say he pays me piecemeal for every cup that I form, etc., and I produce, he'll pay me X amount of money. Good. So, very simply, if I want to take lunch, what does he care if I take lunch? I don't work, I don't produce, he won't pay. Good. Or no, I work 9 to 5. Or it used to be sunrise to sunset. Okay. I'm not a machine. Can have lunch. So reluctantly, Steve says, yeah, you can have lunch. So I bring my sandwich for lunch. Can I wash? Or how could he say no? Can I bench? How could he say no? Now watch this. This is Judaism. Jewish law says, if I'm Steve, I'm the owner, then by all means, I have to say the entire Birkat HaMazon, all four blessings. But if I work for him, then I'm only allowed to say the first three blessings. You ready? Because those are biblical. The last blessing, which is to be rabbinic, that I should be a little bit more pious on his shoulders, Avienim's plates is in Yiddish, which means at his expense, because if I'm going to pray, I'm not going to be working, and he's going to pay me for it, the rabbi said no. So, B'nei Barach Rabbi Shlaim, Amen, back to work, every amazing, okay? Now, today, Yeshiva University, they're very nice, they allow us to say all four blessings. Okay, but from the letter of the law, that's why that Amen is there. Okay, so having said that, take a look at the top of the page. We're getting there. We're at the second line. Okay, I will try to go faster. So what you have is Me'ein Shalosh. This is an abridgment of the three. Why the three? You can answer very intelligently now. Because the first three are, come on, capital B, biblical. So the rabbis are saying, if you're eating grain product, I have a Danish, I have a Ruglach, okay? So I am somewhat the Savata. And the Torah says, "V'chalta v'savata," so I have to give a blessing. And especially since it's part of that list of seven species, two grains, five fruits listed in the Torah. So the rabbis came up, and I'll show you where in a moment, with a blessing as an after blessing four, as you can see now, take a look. After grain products is the first one on the right. After wine, being very special. Wine, we recite the Kiddush over. Wine, we have it under a chuppah. Four cups of wine by the Seder. So wine is used and it's extolled as being a special beverage. Interesting. If we had wine on the table, just know this law. If we had some wine, listen carefully, and we made a Vor Pri Gafen, and then afterwards we were told, well, how about some soda now? Guess what? You would not have to recite Oshah Kol if you recited the bracha of Vor Pri Gafen. Again, we didn't wash. We're sitting here as friends, casually, with the opportunity to have some nash. Very nice. So I'll say it again. If you made a Vor Pri Gafen, and on the table in front of you is Shakol, then how significant is that Bori Pri HaGafen? The answer is very, or most, any one of those words, and therefore you wouldn't have to make a Shakol over the soda, okay? And the same would be true if, well, understandably, if I had grapes and I made a Bracha Bori Pri Eitz over one of those species, so it would include all the other apples, pears, peach, plum, etc. Okay, now watch. So now, over either all grain products, wine, or after fruits. Now, fruits are not apples, pears, peach, plum, as we said before. Fruits are only the five fruits mentioned in the verse, which are the grapes and figs, pomegranates, dates, and olives. Okay, now watch. Let's take a look at the text. We're getting there. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe. And depending on what you ate, then, watch. Alamichya v'al kalkola, which is thanking God for the sustenance. Again, sounds like the first bracha to me. V'al tinuvas asada, that which the field, the yielding of the produce of the field. Stop. That is my summarization of the first blessing. The first blessing is that God sustains. Where does it come from? It comes from the, you know, pardon the pun, for the first, for the michya, it doesn't grow on a tree. Wheat is not yet a tree. Wheat comes from the ground. So alamichya kalkola is for the grain products, and that is your summarization of the first blessing. V'al eretz, there it is, second blessing of the Birkas HaMazon, because this is a summarization thereof. Eretz chemda, a desirable, tova, good, rechava, expansive. Don't worry about it. The more Jews that keep coming on nefesh b'nefesh and going on aliyah, I promise you there'll be room in the land of Israel. The rabbis call the land of Israel Eretz HaTzvi, the land of the deer. It stretches, no problem. Now watch. Sheretzisa, that you chose, God, v'nchalta, and you bequeathed lavosenu to our forefathers, lechomi pirya, to eat of its fruit, v'lizboa mituva, and to be satiated from its goodness. You'll take my word for it. You can even put those words in parentheses, because the Rosh, Rabbeinu Osher, his son, the Tur, says we don't say this. Or even if we say it the first time, look at the four lines down, v'nochal mipir v'nispa b'tuva, they did not say this. We'll leave that alone for the moment. Well, you got to be asking me to come back. Now, next, Rachim, the end of the second line. Rachim Hashem Elokeinu. Oh my goodness, this is a summarization of the third blessing, right? So the second blessing begins, No delecha Hashem Elokeinu al, right? Eretz chemda tov rechava. So there it is on the top line, Eretz chemda is your second blessing. Third line, Rachim Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael Amecha. That sounds familiar from the Birkas HaMazon. There's your third blessing. Ayushalayim Erecha. Good. Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha. But now, underline, circle, do whatever you want with. What's going on in the next four words? Al Mizbechecha. We thank you, God, for your altar, the Mizbeach, and the Al Hecholecha, and on the courtyard of the temple. Now, wait a second. If this is supposed to be, as it says on the top of the page, Me'ein Shalosh, a summarization, so where do you find in the summarization facts that are not included in the original? In other words, we are summarizing the Birkas HaMazon, and I'm showing you exactly phrase for phrase. But in the Birkas HaMazon, the original, you don't find those words for your Mizbeach and for your Heichol. So why in the world, would you have it here in the Al HaMichya, as this is known, and the Bracha Achrona? So the answer given by the Riska Rav is as follows, that when you say those words, next time you have a ruggle, listen carefully, you're referring to, listen, beautiful, the mitzvah of Bikurim. Please God, when we will have that third Beit Mikdash, and somebody owns trees, fruit-bearing trees in Israel, and those fruit-bearing trees yield produce. The Torah says each and every year you're to bring some of your first fruits to the Beit Mikdash, to the temple. And there's a recitation that you recite there. And by the way, the recitation I teach in the Mechina, used to be called JSS. Many of our boys begin the program not yet especially knowledgeable. So just picture the scene. I'm all excited. I'm about tshuva. I want to do this mitzvah. I come and I'm told to recite a blessing. And I'm not sure how to hold the book. And I start stumbling on Arami, Ofid, Avi, and all of a sudden they're saying in the back, move the line, because etc. So I got embarrassed and insulted. I'm not coming back next year. So you should know that the Mishnah tells us this is the institution of what we call today the Baal Korei in the synagogue. They call up Steve for an aliyah. Let's say Steve knows how to read from the Torah, but Mr. Yudin that comes after him does not read from the Torah. So rather than you should read, and I should not read, and vice versa, we have a reader for everybody, so no one gets embarrassed if they know how to do it or not. That comes from the first fruits. Now, what's first fruits got to do with here? Well, once we're saying thank you, God, for the fruits, and specifically the fruits of Israel, so those same fruits of Israel are brought to the Mizbeach. That's why they're included in this paragraph. Now, Uvenei Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, that sounds very familiar. That's the conclusion of the third blessing. B'meher B'meinu B'Haleinu L'socha, bring us, please God. So every time you eat your ragel, you are asking to please help me go on Aliyah. Don't look at me like that. Just translate the words. Haleinu L'socha. Now, please God, we should all work in YU in Israel. Literally, bring us up. Aliyah. The only one way to elevate us, take us. Wherever you live, when you go to Israel, it's called getting up in the world. Now, v'samchinu b'vinyana, please gladden us in the building thereof. We shall eat from its fruit. We shall be satiated. We shall bless you. And on the various days, as you can see, Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, etc. What's missing is Chanukah and Purim. Some other time, you'll ask me, but not today, there's no time. But look what we squeezed in the last line there. Ki atah Hashem, tov u'meitiv. Look at that. We know where that's coming from. That's coming from the fourth blessing. Remember I told you before, Hatov u'meitiv, they instituted when they couldn't bury those dead, but we said an amen first. So even though it's called on the top of the page, me'ein sholosh, which is an abridgment of the three, the rabbis snuck in those two words, Tov u'meitiv, reminding us of the fourth blessing as well. And now, Baruch Ato Hashem, Al Ha'aretz V'Al HaPeros. Let's go right to that, because of Tu B'Shvat, and we're thanking God for the land and the fruit. Any problem with this? Okay, so listen carefully. I'm not going to do it inside. I'm going to give you the sheets. After I do it outside, you can go home and take a look at it inside. I want to make sure that you get to see this. Here goes. Hand out. Two pages of Talmud, back to back. Okay? We want the page of Talmud, which I guess we should do it in the order. On the top of the upper left hand column, it says Mem Dalet. That means 44. And I give you only the Hebrew. Don't get nervous. We're not even going to read it, there's no time. It tells us that at the very bottom of the page, the Talmud asks, okay, after it goes through the text of, and this to me is very exciting. This was written, my friends, approximately the year 350. We are now 2013. That's a long time ago. In other words, what an exciting idea it is that what we are reciting today, it didn't come about from my grandfather, nothing against him or his grandfather. This is something we Jews, this page that I first gave you, this page 200, Alamichya, we've been reciting this for the last, come on, almost 2,000 years. Because the text of it is given to you on the bottom of this page, where the underlinings begin. So you're welcome to go, and if you have any problem with the Aramaic or the Hebrew, to look in the Art Scroll Talmud. This is page 44a, towards the bottom of the page. So now the Talmud asks, okay, how are we to conclude this blessing? And we're talking specifically about fruit today, because Tu B'Shvat is about the fruit. So I just had some grapes Okay, what's the conclusion of the blessing? So if you take a look, okay, so the bottom left on that page 200, gave you Baruch to Hashem al Oretz, we thank God for the land, the al haperos. So the Talmud at the very, very bottom of the page tells us it makes a distinction and a difference. Where are you and what are you eating? You're in the United States and you're eating California grapes. You're going to say that, those exact words. Thank you, God, for the land and for the fruit. If you're in Israel and you're eating grapes that grew in Israel, you're going to have one slight... Yasko doesn't even bring it because this is unpublished for us. But many, you'll go home and you'll check your benchers and where they have this after Baruchah. Baruch to Hashem, if you're in Israel, al oretz v'al peiroseha. Now, Miriam, what's the difference, Bubi, between ha-peiros and peiroseha? So they're very similar, but ha-peiros means the fruit, and peiroseha means its fruit. You follow? Its fruit is more particularistic, as opposed to generalistic, more possessive. In other words, if I'm in the land of Israel, and I had, you know, grapes grown in Israel, I say, thank you, God, for the land, and its fruits mean the land that grew, the fruit that grew in the land, as opposed to, now, the question is, here's the key question for today. I'm in the United States, and I just had some very nice, delicious California grapes. I made the bracha Bari Priyo Eitz. So far, so good. I'm going to make the bracha of Ala Michya. Why? Because 5-8. Well, I didn't tell you why we don't say Birkas HaMazon, you know, etc. Why only for bread? I'll try to remember to do that before I leave. 1 second. So now the question is, how am I going to say the bracha here? What do you mean? I'm going to follow the art scroll. Bracha to Hashem al Ha'aretz v'al Ha'peros. So now tell me, in those words, al Ha'aretz, thanking God for the land, which land are we referring to? What's your name?
Karen.
Karen. Anybody agree with Karen? Again, I'm here in New York. I'm eating California grapes. Thank you, God, for the land and the fruit. Which land are we talking about? Karen says it's the land of Israel.
I agree with that.
You agree?
I agree.
Okay. We're all in agreement with you. Good. Stay there. Al haperos on the produce. Which produce is it?
What you eat.
It's the California grapes, according to the Ritva. According to most of us, it would be logical. Because what did I just finish eating? I had grapes. These grapes didn't come from Israel. These grapes grew in California. Okay. So, any problem with thanking God for the land of Israel and California grapes?
Well,
yes.
Israel,
come on,
Bibi.
Let's go.
New York wasn't existing for these people who wrote this. So it had to be Israel. It couldn't
no,
have been New York.
No, it did. It did. I'll show you. Listen, Miriam. Listen carefully. At the bottom of the of that page of Talmud, which says Mem Dalet at the top, take a look. Rav Chisda, the very bottom line. I'm Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda lived in Bavel, in Babylon. He lived outside of Israel. And so therefore, for grapes that grew in Babylon, he said, Al Oretz V'al HaPeiros. And Rav Yochanan, on the very bottom line there, Rav Yochanan, who lived in Israel, he says, Al Oretz V'al Peiroseha. Good. Which it's fruit. Now watch. Is there a problem with ending a bracha with two themes? Again, one more time. Of all the problems that you thought you had, some of us can't balance, you know, our checkbook. When would my car be ready in the car shop? Can I finish a bracha with two themes? Now watch. Turn over. Page 49. You ready? A. In the Gemara Brachos, and you're welcome to go to your local Art Scroll English, you know, Gemara, and see this there where I've underlined it, and especially in the middle of the page, V'hatanya Rebbe Omer, you see it literally the middle underline in the middle of the page, V'hatanya Rebbe Omer, Rebbe is Rabbi Judah the Prince, taught Ein Chosmin Bishtayim. What does that mean? You can't have a chasima, a conclusion of a blessing, with two different themes. So the Gemara says, oh yeah, don't we have many of those things? Take a look. Every time we say the Birkas HaMazon, Baruch Ato Hashem Al Oretz V'Al HaMazon. So what does that mean, says the Gemara? Oh no, it doesn't mean Israel and New Jersey. It means, I'll take a look, Eretz the land, the mafka mazon, the land that produces its fruit, that's one and together. So if that's the case, that it means the land of Israel that produces its fruit, how can I say outside the land of Israel, how can I say on California grapes, this bracha, a bracha to Hashem, ala oretz, the al haperos, if Karen is right, that the land, see, if you say to me, ala oretz, the United States, or California, or New York, wherever it is that my grapes are coming from, then, okay, ala oretz ve'al haperos would mean this land which produces this fruit. But if Karen the Zionist is correct, and al ha'aretz refers to the land of Israel, and the peros is certainly these fruits which, you know, come from California, how do the two shtib? How do they jive? Okay, turn to the other side of the alamichya sheet. Now this is a Rashi that I believe is worth dancing for. Okay, watch. Now, everybody likes different music, and I dance to different tunes. But you tell me. Watch this. I underline verse Yud Beis 12. Where are you? You're in chapter 11 in the fifth book of the Torah. Again, you can mark this up to notes for yourself. As you can see, you're right before the second paragraph of the Shema. The second paragraph of the Shema begins, V'hoyo im Shemoa. This is the verse right before that. Now, look, we have different tastes, okay? Some of you wouldn't like this tie I'm wearing. Now watch. I'm telling you, this verse is beautiful. Look at the verse. The verse is talking about the land of Israel, Eretz, a land, Hasher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa, a land that God cares about, a land that God is concerned with it. Tamid, constantly, Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba, constantly are the eyes of God on it, Mereshis Hashana, from the beginning of the year, V'Achris Shana, till the end of the year. Okay, now watch. So, somebody reading this can say to themselves, very nice for Rabbi Fass and Nefesh B'Nefesh, but is that really so? That God only cares about Israel? So look at the Rashi. I underline that for you, the bottom of the right-hand column. Rashi, who lived in France, and part of the year in Germany, okay? So, Rashi says, V'halo kol ha'aretzos u'doresh. Oh, come on. God loves and cares about all lands. And the truth of the matter is, we who are not yet living in Israel, we really believe that, like Uncle Moshe says, where's God? Up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. So if that's the case, how can the Torah say that God cares about the land of Israel? And he even brings a verse coming from a rather uncommon source, the 38th chapter of the book of Job, okay, that God causes it to rain even on lands where there aren't people there to ask for the rain, meaning he cares about all over. Ella, watch this. Says Rashi, I couldn't make this up. Kaveyachol, it really is. It's as if inodorish ella osa. Now watch. To what may be compared? I'll show you the rest in a moment in the Rashi. A father has three children, four children, etc. One of his children is, you'll forgive me, but I got to say it, a goody-goody. And the father wants to reward the child who's the good child. Now, the father knows one thing. He learns from Yaakov Avinu. If he's going to give the ice cream only to that one child who's the, quote, goody-goody, as soon as the father leaves the room, the others will, depending on how old they are, make fun of him, beat him up, etc. We know what others are capable of doing. But yet, the father says, I want to give this kid an ice cream. This kid deserves it. So what's the father going to do as a smart father? Come on, Kinderlach. You're all getting ice cream. Everybody is happy. But he knows in his heart that the only reason why the others are getting the ice cream is because of the, quote, the good child. Take a deep breath. Look what Rashi says. Rashi says, Va'ayedei, let's say one line down, I'm sorry, third line down in the Rashi. Kaviyachal enodorish ela osa. God wants to give the rain. He wants to give the blessing of produce. He wants to give it to the land of Israel. Va'ayedei, as a result of osa derisha, as a result of his caring about providing for the needs of the land of Israel, doresh Eskol Ha'aretzos Ima. Once he's giving out the, quote, ice cream to Israel, we get it as well. Ah, so now the question that I asked you a moment ago, I said, based upon the Talmud in 49a in Brachos, that says you can't have two different themes. You can't thank God for the land of Israel and California grapes. If you're in Israel and you're thanking God for the land of Israel and the produce of Israel, that's all one. But the land of Israel and California grapes sounds like two different themes to me, and you're in violation of 49a in the Gemara Brachos. Comes along the Vilna Gaon and says, based upon this Rashi over here, no, you're not. Why? Because I'm going to end, at least until I can do one more thing, with how I began. What's the title of this class? Eating fruits from Israel all year long. What does that mean? It means that even though you might be eating California grapes, but we now know that if the California grapes are sweet and they taste good, very nice, it's not only because of the farmers in California, whatever they do, they shield it from the sun, they give it more sun, they water it. All that, I'm sure, is important. Whatever the scientific explanation is, count me in, Miriam. But I think there's that additional factor as well, Al Ha'aretz. We should appreciate and realize that we are the beneficiaries of Eretz Yisrael all year long. God is showering his blessing upon it, and as he showers his blessing upon it, it dissipates, it comes out through to and through the rest of the world. Now, finally, in the last few seconds that I have, if I have till 2, so I want to just show you something very interesting. Why is it that we only, let's say tonight, let's get back to my original question. Tonight I'm going to have fish and vegetables, okay? And it's going to be delicious. And I'm going to be full. And I'm not going to binge. Why not? So take a look at page 909. In that, you know, in the Chumash that I gave you, and take a look. So verse 8, we know, is the seven species of the land of Israel. And then I have verse 9. The Torah, in further extolling the land, it's a land, in Hebrew, Eretz, Ashalobe Biskenus Tochal Balechem, a land in which, where, you will not eat rationed, which means in poverty, bread, key word. Whereas in verse 8 you had seven species, in verse 9 there's only one food mentioned, which is bread, and you will not lack anything, which is a very fascinating idea. Amazing. Ask me where the mountains are in New Jersey. Not really. Is there some skiing in New Jersey? Maybe. But think about it. There's no Yam HaMelech in New Jersey. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go up north and you could have literally skiing in the Hermon. And you go down, you have everything in the land of Israel, which is what you're told in this pasuk as well. Take a look. You will not lack anything. And the next verse is, when you eat and are satisfied, you must therefore bless God your Lord. So now the question is verse 10, which is the biblical source for the grace after meals. Does it refer back to verse 8? In which case, listen carefully, if I eat any wheat product, if I eat, listen carefully now, pomegranates, figs, dates, etc. So then, one more second, oh my goodness, take a look. On page 44, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah reads as follows. The first underlining on page Mem Daled. A person ate grapes, figs, pomegranates. According to Rebbe Gamliel, he recites Birkas HaMazon. Now, don't you do it. Now, why did Rebbe Gamliel think his opinion was outvoted? But what do you mean? He's no small fry. What's he basing it on? He's saying that verse 10 goes back to 8 and 9. And the rabbis say, excuse me, we rule that verse 10 modifies 9 and doesn't go back. What's in 9? Only bread. So why is it that if all is said and done, why are we giving tuna sandwich more than the pomegranate and figs and dates, for which you will recite the Birkas HaMazon over the bread, and you're not going to recite the Birkas HaMazon over the fruit? It's because we rule, not like Rabbi Gamliel, but like the Chachamim in that Mishnah, and you're welcome to take this page home and see exactly what I'm talking about, that the Chachamim rule that verse 10 goes with 9 and doesn't go back to verse 8. And that's the reason why we do, quote-unquote, what we do. So All I can say is I'm hoping that as our studying together, we'll appreciate more what this bracha of Ala Michya is all about, the summarization of the three biblical, the rabbi's three and the rabbinic one as well, and to understand, most important, that we really are fortunate that in our lifetime, if we can't yet live in Israel, we should realize that we are the beneficiaries of its bounty literally every single day.